Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning on this second Sunday of Advent as we continue focusing on the coming of Christ into this world. And a special welcome to all of you joining us from home or from the Springs or wherever you are, that we can be one community beyond distance. Let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship this morning. I invite you to stand, if you're able, and turn and face the font. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who comes to wake us from sleep, who leads us into the light of grace. Amen. Let us prepare the way of the Lord by confessing our sin against God and neighbor. God of grace and mercy, we confess that we have not prepared for your merciful reign among us. We ignore our neighbors in need and fail in the labor of justice and peace. In your mercy, forgive us. Grant us wisdom to welcome your light and to seek the things that will endure until Christ comes again in glory. Amen. Comfort, O comfort my people, says our God. In Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven and all things are made new. Rejoice in the good news. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, Lord God, to prepare the way of your only Son. By his coming, strengthen us to serve you with purified lives through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. We'll continue now with the lighting of the Advent wreath as we sing the first two stanzas of Light One Candle. Let us pray. We praise you, O God, for this circle of life, of this circle of light that marks our days of preparation for Christ's advent. As these candles glow among us, kindle within us the fire of your Spirit, that we may be light shining in the darkness. Enlighten us with your grace, that we may welcome others as you have welcomed us. Grant this through Christ our Lord, whose coming is certain and whose day draws near. Amen. I invite you to prepare your hearts, minds, and ears to hear the word of God.
The first reading is from Isaiah, the 40th chapter. Comfort, or comfort, my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out, and I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass, Their constancy is like a flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up. Do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. The word of the Lord.
You have been gracious to your land, O Lord. You have restored the good fortune of Jacob.
You have forgiven the iniquity of your people.
Et concepit de spiritu.
second reading is from 2 Peter, the third chapter. Do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and everything on it, everything that is done on it, will be disclosed. Since all these things are to be dissolved in this way, what sort of persons ought you to be in leading lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set ablaze and dissolved, and the elements will melt with fire? But in accordance with his promise, we wait for new heavens and a new earth where righteousness is at home. Therefore, beloved, while you are waiting for these things, strive to be found by him at peace, without spot or blemish, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. The word of the Lord.
Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight." John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Quite a number of years ago, a kid from my youth group when he was in high school, got a summer gig that paid a substantial, large sum of money. And he got this job for two reasons. First, because he fit the uniform, and second, because he played the trumpet. All he had to do was dress in tight white pants, wear a tailored red coat with gold buttons, put a black top hat on his head and black boots on his feet, and then stand on the dirt track while he played. Now, I'm going to wager. Get it? I'm going to wager. I'll bet you've never heard that played in this sanctuary from that orchestra. But I'm also going to bet that you knew what the tune was, that you've been to a racetrack or you've watched a horse race on TV. So you know that at the start of each race, the trumpeter comes out on the track to announce that the jockeys and horses are making their way to the gate, so that they can start the next race to the finish line. And so that's what my young friend did all summer. He played before each race. And it occurred to me, I got to thinking that that's somewhat what I think the gospel according to Mark is like. It's an announcement that the race is about to begin. And from the very start, it's a fast-paced race to the finish line. Only in Mark, there really isn't an ending. The gospel writer will leave the story dangling, allowing the hearers and future readers to make sense of it. So now here we are on the second Sunday of Advent, the 10th day of December, and the clock is ticking. Time is quickly marching on, and there's much that's yet to be done. We all have a huge list of to-do items. Here it is, the second Sunday of Advent, the second Sunday of a new church year, the year of Mark. And for once, today we're actually starting at the beginning. Only we won't exactly be picking up next week where we leave off this week, but that's a sermon for another day. Still, today, on this second Sunday of Advent, we're starting right off in the first chapter of the Gospel according to Mark. Now, there's full disclosure time. For the rest of the season of Advent and throughout Christmas, you know, Christmas being 12 days, we'll be hearing the good news from Matthew, Luke, and John. We won't actually come back to the gospel according to Mark until after we turn the pages on the secular calendar and ring in the new year. We'll return to this first chapter on January 7th in the year of our Lord 2024. And that's when we'll actually hear that Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan River. But until then, I'd like to suggest that what we heard today is like hearing the trumpet sound at the start of a horse race, or the start of any race. This is a proclamation, an announcement. The race is about to begin. The gospel, according to Mark, declares that this is the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, Son of God. Throughout the gospel, Mark moves his readers and hearers swiftly from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next. He'll craft a fast-paced story of Jesus being tempted by the devil in the wilderness, Jesus calling fishermen to come and follow him, Jesus teaching in the synagogue, in a boat, in the wilderness. We'll read and hear stories of Jesus healing lepers, casting out demons, curing the sick, feeding the hungry. There's an urgency in how this gospel writer portrays the events that are leading up to the passion of Jesus, his betrayal, arrest, trial, crucifixion, death, burial. Only for today, on this second Sunday of Advent, the gospel writer is sounding the trumpet, much like they do at the start of a horse race. Only rather than the sound of a bugle call or the birth narratives that are part of Matthew and Luke's version and telling of the gospel, this gospel writer simply begins with a declaration. There's not even a verb. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's more like a title. Once again, soon and very soon, we shall come to hear and see that the gospel, the good news, according to this gospel writer, is actually the beginning without an ending. In the meantime, let us prepare our hearts and our minds for Christ's advent, Christ's coming among us. We can begin those preparations by sharing the Lord's Supper, surrounded by the great cloud of witnesses and all of our Christian brothers and sisters worshiping with us from home, at the springs, down the street, or around the world. We can begin by tasting the goodness of our Lord and Savior as we eat of the bread of life and drink from the cup of salvation. Then, having been fed, we can rise up as people of God, people who have heard the trumpet sound. With the dawning of each new day, we can begin the race right back at the starting line. We can look for both familiar and new ways to carry on the ministry of Jesus, proclaiming the good news through our own words and deeds. We can go out into the world with hearts on fire with the Holy Spirit that's dwelling in us, trusting in the promise that God is always with us and God will remain with us. We can bask in the love of God and revel in the cleansing waters of baptism that are washing over us each and every day. We can turn our lives over to God, in whom we have our life and whom we have our very being. We can look to Christ's advent, whose coming is certain and whose day draws near. We can give thanks to God with each and every breath we take until that great and glorious day when we too will cross the finish line into a brand new beginning without ending. In the meantime, let us prepare the way of the Lord by listening closely for the call to assemble as a community for the race that is set before us. The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight." John the baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Quite a number of years ago, a kid from my youth group when he was in high school, got a summer gig that paid a substantial, large sum of money. And he got this job for two reasons. First, because he fit the uniform, and second, because he played the trumpet. All he had to do was dress in tight white pants, wear a tailored red coat with gold buttons, put a black top hat on his head and black boots on his feet, and then stand on the dirt track while he played. Now, I'm going to wager. Get it? I'm going to wager. I'll bet you've never heard that played in this sanctuary from that organ. But I'm also going to bet that you knew what the tune was, that you've been to a racetrack or you've watched a horse race on TV. So you know that at the start of each race, the trumpeter comes out on the track to announce that the jockeys and horses are making their way to the gate so that they can start the next race to the finish line. And so that's what my young friend did all summer. He played before each race. And it occurred to me, I got to thinking that that's somewhat what I think the gospel according to Mark is like. It's an announcement that the race is about to begin. And from the very start, it's a fast-paced race to the finish line. Only in Mark, there really isn't an ending. The gospel writer will leave the story dangling, allowing the hearers and future readers to make sense of it. So now here we are on the second Sunday of Advent, the 10th day of December, and the clock is ticking. Time is quickly marching on, and there's much that's yet to be done. We all have a huge list of to-do items. Here it is, the second Sunday of Advent, the second Sunday of a new church year, the year of Mark. And for once, today we're actually starting at the beginning. Only we won't exactly be picking up next week where we leave off this week, but that's a sermon for another day. Still, today, on this second Sunday of Advent, we're starting right off in the first chapter of the Gospel according to Mark. Now, there's full disclosure time. For the rest of the season of Advent and throughout Christmas, you know, Christmas being 12 days, we'll be hearing the good news from Matthew, Luke, and John. We won't actually come back to the Gospel according to Mark until after we turn the pages on the secular calendar and ring in the new year. We'll return to this first chapter on January 7th in the year of our Lord 2024. And that's when we'll actually hear that Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan River. But until then, I'd like to suggest that what we heard today is like hearing the trumpet sound at the start of a horse race, or the start of any race. This is a proclamation, an announcement. The race is about to begin. The gospel, according to Mark, declares that this is the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, Son of God. Throughout the gospel, Mark moves his readers and hearers swiftly from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next. He'll craft a fast-paced story of Jesus being tempted by the devil in the wilderness, Jesus calling fishermen to come and follow him, Jesus teaching in the synagogue, in a boat, in the wilderness. We'll read and hear stories of Jesus healing lepers, casting out demons, curing the sick, feeding the hungry. There's an urgency in how this gospel writer portrays the events that are leading up to the passion of Jesus, his betrayal, arrest, trial, crucifixion, death, burial. Only for today, on this second Sunday of Advent, the gospel writer is sounding the trumpet, much like they do at the start of a horse race. Only rather than the sound of a bugle call or the birth narratives that are part of Matthew and Luke's version and telling of the gospel, this gospel writer simply begins with a declaration. There's not even a verb. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's more like a title. Once again, soon and very soon, we shall come to hear and see that the gospel, the good news, according to this gospel writer, is actually the beginning without an ending. In the meantime, let us prepare our hearts and our minds for Christ's advent, Christ's coming among us. We can begin those preparations by sharing the Lord's Supper, surrounded by the great cloud of witnesses and all of our Christian brothers and sisters worshiping with us from home, at the springs, down the street, or around the world. We can begin by tasting the goodness of our Lord and Savior as we eat of the bread of life and drink from the cup of salvation. Then, having been fed, we can rise up as people of God, people who have heard the trumpet sound. With the dawning of each new day, we can begin the race right back at the starting line. We can look for both familiar and new ways to carry on the ministry of Jesus, proclaiming the good news through our own words and deeds. We can go out into the world with hearts on fire with the Holy Spirit that's dwelling in us, trusting in the promise that God is always with us and God will remain with us. We can bask in the love of God and revel in the cleansing waters of baptism that are washing over us each and every day. We can turn our lives over to God, in whom we have our life and whom we have our very being. We can look to Christ's advent, whose coming is certain and whose day draws near. We can give thanks to God with each and every breath we take until that great and glorious day when we too will cross the finish line into a brand new beginning without ending. In the meantime, let us prepare the way of the Lord by listening closely for the call to assemble as a community for the race that is set before us. with the church through the ages, let us confess our Christian faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made truly human. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. With hope and expectation, let us offer our prayers for the church, for creation, and for the whole world as we welcome and await Christ's coming among us. Fill us with your Spirit, O God, and send us forth with words of promise and forgiveness. Inspire your church to be bold in proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, so that our words and deeds may reflect your love and grace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give you thanks, O God, for your majesty in mountain peaks, flowing rivers, and blossoming wilderness roads. Breathe new life into your creation and help us to find ways to heal the earth in places where it is groaning in pain and longing for renewal. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Turn the hearts of all nations toward you, O God, until your righteousness prevails among all people. Kindle in us a renewing fire burning for justice and peace in all the earth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Comfort your people, O God, with tender words of love and healing. Surround all who are grieving, all who are experiencing depression or anxiety, all who feel alone or forgotten. Be a steadfast presence when all else feels uncertain. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Grant holy patience to all who are waiting this season, especially those who suffer from chronic pain, those who are awaiting test results or recovering from surgery, and those who are beginning new treatments. Today we lift up before you Terry, Chuck, Dal and Gay, Doug and Jody, Morgan, Marnie, Gretchen and Jeff, Shirley, and David's family in China. For whom else do the people pray? For all these we've named aloud, for those we hold in our hearts, and for those known only to you, we pray. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. With you, O God, 1,000 years is like a day. Keep watch with those who are holding vigil beside loved ones. Bless the memory of the saints from ages past and the anticipation of saints as yet unborn. Inspire us to live with faith as we await the advent of your new heaven and new earth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your everlasting mercy through our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us share God's peace now with one another, and remember to turn around and wave at the people worshiping with us from home in the Springs. That is a pleasant sound to hear you greeting one another in peace. But I have a few announcements of our life together, so I ask you to return to your seats. Following worship this morning, we invite you to grab a cup of coffee and then head to the library for a class with Pastor Ben. A reminder that Together Tuesday is a 5 o'clock soup supper followed by Holden Evening Prayer. And then off to classes and activities at 6 p.m. This week is also the week that we have a midweek coffee hour, literally 1 hour between 1 and 2 on Wednesday. And that midweek coffee hour is just a time to gather for fellowship and conversation and share some goodies and a cup of coffee or tea. So we encourage you to come to that and get to know one another more informally. There's also an event next Sunday after the 11 o'clock service. So somewhere close to noon, we'll have a little luncheon, and then we'll be going out caroling. Pastor Ray Wade is organizing that for us, and we will be going to some of the homes in a geographically close area. So that's next Sunday at approximately 12. We meet for lunch and head out about 12:45. And then finally, a couple of announcements about ways to give during this season of gift giving. One of which is there's a table in the narthex that has gift card tags on it. And those are representative of the families that are at First Place Family Center Annex, where the children that are housed there with their parents have a wish list of things they'd like. We're doing this in conjunction with United and Emmaus, and so we have one-third of the families, and if you could take one of those gift cards, we need the gifts to come back next Sunday, unwrapped, and then we will get them to the youth who are going to deliver them to the families. And then finally, it is also Fish Sunday. Friends in Service to Humanity is an organization that is all volunteer, and it's one that Central has supported for many years, both with financial gifts, canned goods, and other items, and along with human resources. So encourage you, if you are able to give a gift for Fish, you can put it in the basket as you come forward for communion. It's in the center there. And then the regular offering goes into the plates that are also at the end of the pew, or the front of the pew, the first pew. So, with those announcements, we'll continue with our voluntary and offertory and our table, the Lord's Supper.
Oh,
Pray. By your merciful hand, abundance springs up from the earth. Receive and bless these gifts of your own bounty. Let them be a sign of your steadfast love and faithfulness for all people, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. I invite all who are able to stand.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you will also make all things new. In the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness, and so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth. In mercy for our fallen world, you gave your only Son, that all those who believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We give thanks to you for the salvation you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Send now your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that we may receive our Lord with a living faith as he comes to us in his Holy Supper. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for them all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. For distribution this morning, we'll invite you to come forward, and then we're going to do distribution in two kind of stations. You're welcome to come up to the communion rail and either kneel or stand. Or at the floor, there'll be a station where you can go directly, and that'll be just right in front there, that you can come in from this side, go back to the side. If you come in from the pulpit side, you'll need to go around the table back that way. We're managing this differently because we have a Christmas tree in the way on part of this. So you'll see two stations, and go where is most comfortable for you. All are welcome at the Lord's table. This is Christ's meal. It is Christ that bids you come. I'll invite all who are able to stand. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. God, for whom we wait, you come to us in the broken bread and the cup we share. Make us ready always to welcome Christ into our hearts and send us forth to be your people in the world, announcing your coming among us in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Now receive the benediction. The God of peace bless you, the love of Christ sustain you in hope, and the anointing of the Spirit remain upon you now and forever. Amen. Prepare the way of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.